and daughters. Led them with unmoistened foot through the Red Sea waters. 'Tis the spring of souls today. Christ has burst his prison, and from 3 days of sleep in death, as a sun has risen, all the winter of our sins, long and dark, is flying from his light to whom is given Lord and praise undying. Now the queen of seasons bright, with the day of splendor, with the royal feast of feasts, comes its joy to render, comes to gladden faithful hearts, which with true affection welcome in unwearied strain Jesus' resurrection. For today among his own, Christ appeared bestowing his deep peace, which evermore passes human knowing. Neither could the gates of death nor the tomb's dark portal, nor the watchers, nor the seal, hold him as a mortal. Alleluia, now we cry to our King immortal, who triumphant burst the bars of the tomb's dark portal. Come, you faithful, raise the strain of triumphant gladness. God has brought his Israel into joy from sadness.
The congregation is invited to stand for the confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up,
and have not let my foes rejoice over me.
O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help.
and you have healed me.
O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol.
You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints.
And give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime.
Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
As for me, I said in my prosperity,
I shall never be moved.
By your favor, O Lord,
you made my mountain stand strong. You hid my face. I was dismayed.
To you, O Lord, I cry.
And to the Lord I plead for mercy.
What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit?
Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me.
O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned for me my mourning into dancing.
You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness.
That my glory may sing your praise and not be silent.
O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
In peace let us pray to the Lord.
Lord have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God.
Strength and honor blessed.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated. The first reading for this morning is from Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 1. But Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priests and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem on those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength, and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the verse.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard, and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved, because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was going to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The congregation may be seated.
Come, follow me, the Savior spake. All in my way abiding. Deny yourselves, the world forsake. Obey my call and guiding. Oh, bear the cross, whatever betide. Take my example for your guide. I am the light, I light the way. A godly life displaying. I bid you walk as in the day. I keep your feet from straying. Gracious words my lips express, with meekness overflowing. My heart, my mind, my strength, my all, to God I yield, on Him I call. I teach you and flee what harms your soul's salvation. Your heart from every guile to free, from sin and its temptation. I am the refuge of the soul, and lead you to your heavenly goal. Then let us follow Christ our Lord and take the cross appointed, and firmly clinging to His word, in suffering be
The sermon for this morning is based on the reading of that conversation between Jesus and Peter. To start, I read from a different passage, Very familiar one. From John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The sermon notes are in the inside of that folded yellow sheet, and I will be pointing some things out pretty clearly in it that are key for us. And all the nuances and meanings of the Greek text were not in our ESV translation that we just heard. And that's why you have a pastor who studied Greek and knows a little bit something to help maybe point out some things that we don't always see, or even in our translations. We first remember what Peter had said before Jesus died. The night before he died, he met with his disciples to celebrate the Passover. He did a number of things that night in the upper room. He instituted the Lord's Supper. He washed the disciples' feet. He gave teachings on the Holy Spirit. He prayed the high priestly prayer as recorded in John chapter 17. And one of the many things he said, which is recorded in several places, is that all of you will fall away tonight. Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room, all of you will fall away from me that night. And this was to fulfill prophecies. When he said that, it is recorded in Matthew, and I have written down in the notes, Mark 14 as well was recorded. Peter said to him, even though they all fall away, I will not. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. So Peter said, no, I won't. I won't fall away. I won't deny you. Even if I have to die, I won't deny you. You know what Peter did. He denied Jesus three times, just as Jesus said he would. Now Jesus has risen from the dead. And we remember the first time he appeared to the disciples behind locked doors. And the second time as well, he said to them both times, peace be with you. The forgiveness, the victory over sin that Jesus had gained on the cross was with the disciples. Jesus was at peace with Peter, with all of them. They had all run away. None of them had stuck with Jesus. There was peace with them. And yet, for the reasons he knew best, and for our benefit, and for the benefit of those disciples that saw this, and for Peter's benefit, that third time, as John notes in our reading from today, the third time he appeared to them was on their fishing trip. They're waiting in Galilee. They were fishermen by trade, by training, and so they went fishing as they were waiting to see Jesus again or for further instructions. They fished all night. Nothing was there. Jesus told them from the shore in the morning, cast your nets out again. They caught 153 fish. And they go ashore, and they have a meal with Jesus, and they are so happy. And then, as we read, Jesus talked to Peter. And I have written down there a different translation is from a Lutheran commentator called Lenski. And in the Greek text, even though it, in our English text right there that we read, it says love, love. That's actually not what the Greek has. It's more differentiated, like I talked with Leland about. Love and like, or love and affection. For God so loved the world, agape love, self-sacrificing love. Affection as we have towards a brother, a sister, a family. Liking, a strong like, it's also an affection. But love, sacrifice self. In verse 15, from Dr. Lenski's translation, when therefore they had breakfast, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon of John, dost thou love me more than these? Love me more than these. He says to him, yea, Lord, thou dost know that I have affection for thee. And Jesus said back to him, pasture my lambs. Did you hear that difference? Jesus said to him, it's in the text, do you love me? And Simon said to him, I like you. I have affection for you. You know that I do. Verse 16, he says to him again a second time, Simon of John, John his father, dost thou love me? He says to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I have affection for thee. He says to him, shepherd my sheep. He asked him again, do you love me? You know, Lord, I like you. Verse 17, he says to him a third time, Simon of John, hast thou affection for me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, hast thou affection for me? And he said to him, Lord, all things thou dost know. Thou dost realize that I do have affection for thee. Jesus says to him, pasture my dear little sheep. Do you love me more than these? You said you would even die. I like you, Lord. Do you love me? I like you, Lord. Do you like me? You know I like you, Lord. That's what's going on in the language, in the conversation. It's interesting, he doesn't call him Peter here. Peter was the name that Jesus gave to him. Peter means rock. On this rock, on this faith of Peter, I will build. But he calls him by his father's name, Simon of John. And he asks Peter, do you love me? Agape, do you love me with that agape love? And both times Peter responded back, well, I have affection for you. Well, I like you. Phileo love. So, do you actually like me? And he's caught. He's grieved because Jesus changed the language to what he was using himself. You say you like me. Do you actually even like me? And Peter, in that third response, he says, you know all things. You know that I like you. Peter measured himself as great the night before Jesus died. He said, even though they all abandon you, I will never deny you. I will even die for you. But he did not. Do you even like Jesus? Will you even stand up and say you like something at all? Jesus needed to make this clear to Peter and to the disciples listening. They all knew what Peter had said. They all knew what Peter had done. But after each response, Jesus still calls Peter, "Feed my lambs." That's the children. He talked to him the first time. He said, "Feed my lambs. Feed the little children." And the second time he said, "Shepherd my sheep, my people." And the third time, "Pasture, take care of my dear sheep." Even with Peter's response of not loving Jesus, but liking Jesus, he gave him the task to take care of his people. That third time that Peter responded, he realizes and says out loud, "I don't know what I am, but you know." We can get caught up in measuring our own faith. Do we love Jesus? Do we like Jesus? Where is it? I don't even know myself. But Jesus knows, and Jesus has called us. Jesus has died for us. Jesus has risen for us. Jesus calls us to look to him and to the others he calls us to take care of. Don't say love or like or whatever. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Dear friends, as soon as we look to ourselves and try to measure ourselves, whether it's according to our own standards or compared to other people, it's going to say in the end, we haven't done enough. The law will say, "You really love Jesus, right? Yeah, look what you did yesterday. Look what you did today. You really love Jesus?" And the law will even say, "Do you really like Jesus? You like your pet better than you like Jesus. Look the way you're behaving." That's what the law does. God's word, the law, will get into our lives and say, "Look deeply into your life, my friend. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God, because he knows." And the gospel is, Jesus died for you. You have peace. Feed his lambs. Tend his sheep. Don't measure yourself. That's going to fail if you're really honest. Look to Christ. Jesus confronts Peter with a word of law and forgiveness. "Do you love me? I like you. Do you love me? I like you. Do you like me? Lord, you know everything. You know that I like you." And then Jesus says to Peter, and Lenski puts it, we usually in English will say "truly, truly," but it's that "truly, truly" is good, but the Greek is "amen, amen." It is true. "Amen, amen, I say to you, when thou wast younger, thou wast accustomed to gird thyself, and thou wast accustomed to walk where you would. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch out thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou art not willing." Peter, In your earlier days, you did what you wanted. You decided where you wanted to go and how you wanted to live. And but I'm telling you, Peter, when you get older, your arms will be stretched out and others will do it for you. And you don't want to do it, but you're going to do it. Peter would love Jesus. He would die for Jesus. And John makes a little note in there. Verse 19, now this he said, signifying what kind of death he would glorify God. In fact, John says, and by this time, most probably, John knew when he wrote this, John knew that Peter was crucified for Jesus, for believing in Jesus. He would give up his life for Jesus. And John writes this and says, and Jesus was prophesying that Peter would die this way, die being crucified, and thus glorify God. When Peter was looking at himself, he said, I will never betray you. I will never deny you. I won't do this. I will do this. All these things, measure myself, how good I am, how strong I am, and fail, fail, fail. But as he continued to be a disciple of Christ and an apostle of Christ, Holy Spirit led him to look at Christ, to look at Christ, to look at Christ, to look at Christ, even to die on the cross for Christ. Great faith. But it's not because Peter decided he could do it. It's because he heard Jesus' words, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, pasture my dear sheep. And Peter did that. And it took him to the cross to die for Christ. But he was looking at Christ, not himself. At the very end of that account that John writes down for us, and having said this, Jesus says to Peter, follow me. You answered like three times, not love. You need to learn different. As you go along, Peter, you will see life is going to be different. Follow me. Peter had decided earlier how he was going to live. But now Jesus said, you're going to follow me, and I'll show you where to go and how to live and even die. John says, by that death, he would glorify God. For we Christians today, Jesus forgives us, absolutely. Whether we've loved Jesus this much or this much, only liked Jesus or denied him, Jesus forgives us. And he calls us to follow him. Don't measure yourself. Follow Jesus. And he calls us to serve others. Stop measuring yourself. Serve others. Take care of the little ones. Feed his sheep. Tend his sheep. Protect them. And he calls us to glorify God. Not ourselves. Glorify God. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for the great mercy and forgiveness you gave to Peter. That you would keep him as your disciple and apostle even when he ran away and denied you. Dear Jesus, forgive us for the times that we might have denied you and not loved you with our heart, mind, and soul. But dear Jesus, we hear your call. Help us to follow and help us to serve your people. All these things, dear Jesus, we bring to you, you and your Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We stand up. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We sing the hymn number 852, verses 1, 2, and 3. The offering may be brought forwards on the last verse 3.
O God of mercy, God of might, in love and pity infinite, teach us as ever in thy sight to live our lives in thee. And thou, O camest on earth to die, that our lost world might live thereby. O hear us, for to thee we cry, in hope, O Lord, to thee. Teach us the lesson thou hast taught, to feel for those thy blood hath bought, that every word and deed and thought may work a work for thee.
The congregation is invited to stand for prayer. We pray as printed in the bulletin, Prayers of Zion Lutheran Church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for the powerful word and spiritual food that our Lord alone provides, that we may worthily hear and receive it and fulfill his will for our lives, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For strong hearts and voices to meditate upon the splendor of the resurrection of Christ and to speak of the might of his awesome deeds of salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church of God, that many men would be called to the service of the church and suffer for the gospel, confounding her enemies with Christ's wisdom, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all fathers and mothers, that God would strengthen their faith and increase their joy in the gospel, and that they would declare the mighty acts of God to the generation to come, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our rulers and all the nations of the earth, the God who orders all nations would inspire them to rule according to his divine mercy and justice, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who struggle among us, Especially we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Carlin and Bill, Gary, Bryston and Keith, Brad, Don, James, Violet, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Tasha, Mary Ellen, Sue, Norm, Tony, Pastor Shiwi and Pastor Berlin, and the family of Mike Hurst, and the family of Greg Weber. That God would give them faith and grace and be glorified through their trials, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For joyful hearts worthily to receive the body and blood of Christ on this morning of his resurrection, that we too would rise on the last day, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
And we include the prayer requests from our food pantry friends. Prayers that there would be peace in the world. Prayers to keep America safe and keep every human being in God's loving hands. Prayers for Antonio's knee surgery, for family peace and knowledge of God, for safe travels of Donna. Prayers for healing of heart and lungs, for a closer walk with the Lord. Prayers for the health and safety of Sharon's and Pat's families. Prayers for Linda with Alzheimer's and in a nursing home. Prayers for Linda with cataracts. Prayers for extended families, for Donna's liver transplant, for struggles over children's custody, for a swollen leg and healing to walk better. Prayers for a job, for Bob with cancer, for inflation and gasoline costs that make life difficult for seniors. Prayers for our pastors unknown and known. Prayers for a son and also the son of a friend looking for a place to live and facing other challenges in life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray together, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. And by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna.
Pray our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood, is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace.
The congregation is invited to stand for the general communion dismissal. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he hath done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy. With shouts of thanksgiving, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.
Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, evermore his praises sing. Alleluia, alleluia, praise the everlasting King. Praise him for his grace and favor to his people in distress. Praise us, rescues us from all our foes. Alleluia, alleluia, widely yet his mercy flows. Angels, help us to adore him. You behold him face to face. Sun and moon bow down before him, all who dwell in time and space. Alleluia, alleluia, praise with us the God of grace.